to all who come to this happy place.
Welcome.
Disneyland is your land. Here, and then you know how the rest goes.
Age committee.
Go ahead, fanboy. This is a special occasion.
Age committee, fond memories of the past, and youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to dreams, ideals, and hard facts that create America, the source, I hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
The version I remembered is that.
To all who believe in the power of dreams. Lillian.
Anyway.
That's a good story. I hope that's not a myth.
Welcome to the July 17th of the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Ronald Reagan. Joining me on my left are Bob Cummings.
I don't know where my microphone is.
Across from me are Irene Dunn.
I guess I'm holding a bottle of waters from the rivers of the world.
Or America, wouldn't it be?
Well, but I think that was the rivers of the world.
Wasn't
I think
it?
She said rivers of the world.
Yeah. Well, it was actually water from the rivers of the world, but mostly America.
And on my right is Art Linkletter.
You know, Walt, he said the darndest things.
If I'm not mistaken, are you the only one of us that's still alive?
And I will be alive to go to every Disney Service Award presentation for the rest of my Disney's life.
I should have been Sammy Davis Jr., actually. That's one of my favorite moments,
huh?
Him driving the Autopia car.
And look, it's Sammy Davis Jr. driving
Does
a car.
Does he have depth perception, though? It's not a little dangerous.
Oh, I think you might be crossing the line there, fanboy. Anyway, in real life, my name is Doobie. That was Captain John on the left.
Ahoy.
Rebecca Lacrosse.
Hello.
And fanboy on the right.
Happy birthday, Disneyland.
Today is July 17th as we're recording this. A very special day in Disney history because 53 years ago today, Disneyland opened for a private party. 53 years ago from when this actually goes up on the website, Disneyland opened for real.
And in honor of this, I have not drinking any water today whatsoever, and my high heels are now stuck in the pavement.
Wasn't it 54 years ago in a day?
They broke ground?
Yes. Is that how that goes?
$17 million. I believe that's what it costs to do the signs in an average attraction now.
You know, it's funny to go home. When I go home today, I'm actually going to just get a ladder and go over the fence.
I'm printing some tickets out on my printer.
What's sad is that story's still going on.
Anyway, let's.
But it's a good thing you have that perforated edge, so that way that the people won't know that, you know, it's not an authentic fast pass.
Yeah, it was great of the Orlando Sentinel to put that in the paper.
Hey, it was only because the Disney spokeswoman decided to share the secret.
Did you hear? Yeah. Well, and then you know what Disney goes and does? Hires the Orlando Sentinel executive editor.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, he's now a PR guy.
Oh, that's funny.
Sentinel did some layoffs, didn't they?
How convenient.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-71. I can't talk. 866-718-9408. You know what I learned doing this podcast and editing this every week?
What's that?
I have a lisp. I didn't know that before I started editing this podcast.
Really? We've known.
Brother, yeah, thanks. I know.
It's okay. That's why I always make fun of you. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
Wow, that was a very poor attempt at a joke.
I know. It felt like a moment I could make fun of Doobie, and those are so rare. But it just
so rare.
didn't come to fruition.
That's a big word for you. Anyway, it's Disneyland's birthday, so let's talk about Disneyland for a while. They made an announcement today. I was in putting up Laughing Place's update yesterday. I was kind of highlighting birthday celebrations over the past few years, or actually kind of, I think, from 45 to 49, because we covered those well and everything. And 46, they announced the new Mr. Lincoln Show. I remember that. That was kind of a big deal at the time.
The world has never known.
That's a special day to me. I got to interview Martin Landau. That was fun.
Never had.
So today they decided to announce something again. And what did they announce?
The return of Sleeping Beauty. Walkthrough, right?
She woke up. She's going to be awoken beauty now?
Yes, yep. The return of the Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough. Apparently the interior of Sleeping Beauty Castle will be open in time for the December holiday season.
Is that when the Blu-ray comes out?
What a coincidence.
Offering guests a, quote, reawakened version of its classic walkthrough.
Oh, that's
kind of boring.
Oh, no.
If she spends the whole walkthrough awake, what's the whole point of being Sleeping Beauty? My bitch been, like, caffeinated beauty.
I like the way they put it. a reawakened version of its classic walkthrough presentation, Kissed, with vibrant scenes of Aurora, her charming prince, the evil Maleficent, and other characters from the beloved fairy tale film.
Is it possible for a press release to jump the shark?
Yeah, I believe it was Bling in the sequel. Which, sadly, they put out a press release for this year, and it's still there.
I have a question. On the interactive walkthrough now, are you going to be able to chat with other people that are doing the walkthrough at the same time and provide your own commentary? Do you, like, walkthrough live features? Or is that just on the Blu-ray?
That's just on the Blu-ray. Oh. I get it. I'm with you.
Imagine how many people are going to show up when they reopen it.
I hope they have turnstiles at the end so people can spin them like we used to.
I hope they have a way that my wheelchair friends can go experience the attraction.
I'm sure they do. Tell us about it, Juby.
I will get there.
Okay.
Let's read the last few paragraphs since most of the rest of it deals with the actual film. When the attraction is unveiled later this year, the show will differ from the dioramas of the 80s and 90s, returning to the unique style of the original 1957 show and motion picture. Enhanced with new scenes and special effects magic, the reimagined attraction will employ technology not available in the 1950s to represent scenes from the story of Sleeping Beauty, including the magic of good fairies Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether. Is she related to Meriwether Pleasure, do you know?
Actually, yeah, this is why she's moving over, because her island's closing, so...
And the more sinister spells of the evil Maleficent. And, for the first time, guests who are unable to climb stairs or navigate the passageways of the castle will be able to experience the walkthrough virtually in a special room.
Where they show you the Blu-ray of Sleeping Beauty.
Special room on the ground floor of the castle.
See, for a second there, I thought they were just going to make it a big, you know, slip and slide.
Now, that's what they did for the subs, too, make those. Mm-hmm. They should just kind of put this huge room outside the entrance to Disneyland where people can just go, virtually experience all the attractions. In fact, do it at home. Don't even bother coming to the park.
Isn't that what Google Earth is?
Yeah.
When did all attractions have to have closets that we shove people in and they experience the attraction?
Well, that's terrible.
But in all seriousness, this is...
Well, that's very cool.
It's opening back up. That's really exciting.
Well, I mean... This is a kind of a neat, you know, they announced the closing of the Clubs of Pleasure Island and the closing of the Pocahontas show, and I was really getting tired of people coming up to me like, what are you going to close next? It's nice to have something reopening.
To me, this came as quite a surprise. I mean, not today's announcement, obviously, it's been rumored for a while, but the fact that they were going to open up Sleeping Beauty Castle again, that's something I never thought I'd see in my children's
very
lifetime.
Very out of the blue, or pink.
Or blue.
Oh, you are like butter today,
Captain.
Make
it pink. I agree. I never expected to see the castle reopen, so I'm very happy to read about it, and I look forward to seeing it next summer when we finally make it back out there.
Yeah. Do you think they'll do this in Florida, too?
Actually, they're going to rename Cinderella's Royal Table King Stefan's Banquet Hall in order to promote the upcoming Disney DVD and Blu-ray disc of Sleeping Beauty.
That is still one of the more confusing things that's ever happened in a theme park, isn't it?
Because you know how, like, anal WDI is. You know, that's not Everest. That's the Forbidden Mountain. Everest is a little. Yet they name a restaurant in the Magic Kingdom after the wrong princess's father.
It couldn't be the wrong.
You really want to know why. Why was that? I mean, was it intended to be?
And it's not like King Stefan is a great brand that, you know, allures people to the restaurant.
Right. Oh, no, totally. It's very bizarre. One of these days, I wonder if we'll ever find out the story behind that.
Does the Cinderella King have a name?
I don't believe so.
They should have just given him a name. Then it could be, you know, some
maybe
King Paul's table.
Maybe his name is King Stefan. And that's why they didn't use it, because it would confuse people. So it's Disneyland's birthday. This is laughingplace.com. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention what our loyal readers are doing right now as we record this.
They just got out of the Tiki Room.
That's exciting. I hope you people are tracking what's happening on LP Live today, because a bunch of LPers are at the park as they are every birthday.
Or yesterday, as the case may be.
Well, today, as I tell, it's so confusing, because who knows when they're going to be listening. They could be listening like 3 years from now. Austria may not get there for like...
Dude, that's a good point.
Yeah.
When was it, like, you think we're going to have a good run in second-run syndication?
If we can get up to 100 shows,
so today, over at Disneyland, there's lots of little gatherings of LPers and other website fans. And on LP, they share photos of their adventures in Disney theme parks on a feature called LP Live. And recently, we've seen a group of about, I don't know, it looks like maybe 50 people went to the Tiki Room together. Earlier today, a group went to the Jungle Cruise and in something they called the Backside of Water Meet. They met up at the Carnation Gardens by Sleeping Beauty Castle during lunchtime. I think it's called the Lunchtime Lounge.
The Lunchtime Lounge.
So just lots of, looks like a lot of fun being had. I'm really jealous. I actually called out there and told them that I'm sad we're not there. I miss everybody.
Hey, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Refresh your live page. The Golden Doobie's up there now.
Oh, that's funny.
The highlight, or one of the highlights, I'm told, of the annual event
is a salute to all webmasters, but mostly Doobie.
They do an award presentation every year, and it's not like anything formal. People
and we have nothing to do with it.
Oh, none of this. We have anything to do with it. People send in nominations to the committee, and the committee decides who's going to get the awards. And the nomination would be the person's name, the name of the award, and why they deserve it. Like, for example, the Matthew Brady Award was given to 999 Haunts because she sends pictures to LP Live all the time.
And more than anybody else.
And Matthew Brady was a "you must live" kind of photographer kind of guy.
Yeah, Civil War era.
There's a committee?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know who's on it, yeah.
So, like, do they, when they do the seating, do they pay attention to where everyone's from when they put them in the brackets, or they just try and get an overall number one seed?
Anyway. So they just, I was curious, I haven't even seen what the Golden Doobie looks like this year. What they do every year is they take a stylized picture.
It's not really stylized, it's actually what he looks like.
You're right, it's not stylized. It's a normal picture of me that they goldenize, and they try to get one that's not particularly attractive, which is not hard to do. Not hard at all. And this year they got one of my favorite pictures that was taken on our first Disney cruise, so thanks for putting that up on LP Live.
What is it?
The pirate Doobie with a butter knife in his teeth.
Yeah.
Looking very
menacing.
Menacing. So, wow. Anyway, I hope they're all having fun out there, enjoying the Doobies and all the meets. They've got meets. I know they had some yesterday, probably tomorrow. I don't know how long it goes on. They're meeting it. A lot of them are staying over at Howard Johnson's Anaheim, the premier destination to stay in Anaheim.
Dude.
We love Hojo.
We do love Hojo Anaheim, let's say. Even, they're a sponsor, but aside from that,
we love
Hojo Anaheim.
And they're a great place to work with, too.
Yeah, so. Having a great time. Glad to hear it.
Saturday morning, a big group of them are all going to breakfast at Club 33. I'm so jealous.
Club 33. Wow.
So lots of fun. Lots of fun. I think that's one of the hardest things. We talked about it last week. That's one of the hardest things about being on the East Coast when it's Disneyland's birthday is not catching up with everybody.
So we've been to Disneyland's birthday many times in the past.
Pretty much, 95 through 2004?
Yeah. 2005, too. 2005. We certainly went back for the Big 5-0. Mm-hmm. Not police, but the 50th.
Yeah, for about 10 years, it was where you'd find us on July 17th.
Yeah. So any particular birthday memories for anybody or any other
lots
Disney memories?
Lots and lots of cake.
Front the
Do you remember
50th?
That for 40 Years of Adventure?
40 Years of Adventure.
They had those cake tables everywhere. Do you remember that, Captain? You
yeah,
would have been
I
mighty.
I remember.
You were like...
That'd be illegal now.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can't have cake sitting out like that.
Yeah.
What they do for
food
the 50th?
Service.
Yeah, cupcakes, I think. Mm-hmm. Completely different.
Yeah, it's individual servings.
Were you there for the 40th, fanboy?
No.
Where were you?
I think like fifth grade.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm kidding.
Feeling a little old right now.
That was so much fun. That birthday
was
fun.
13 years ago. Yeah, I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I was only in 11th.
And,
when you wish up.
Lots of people were there. They had great merchandise that year.
And Indiana Jones was
ooh,
there.
The mountain.
No, that was, I think that was like 44.
The Mountaineers.
Yeah.
Where they had this whole promotion for the Disney Mountains, and you would go around and get your, you bought a passport, and then you would go to each mountain, and they had where you could get a stamp and a collectible pin.
I remember that.
All the merchandise was celebrating the mountains, and they had the word mountains misspelled on all the merchandise. The T and the A were transposed, so it looked like Mountaineers.
Wasn't that was after the 45th, wasn't it?
I think
so. That was
so.
Before the 45th.
I'm
fifth.
Pretty sure there was the 44th.
Yeah, I think it was the 44th, because I was down there for the 45th on, and right. I knew I would remember that.
And then 45th is when Believe arrived, didn't it?
Yeah, 45th was something special. Loggins did the special event for that one.
Do you remember it rained, and it was kind of rainy, and then when the event happened, it stopped being rainy. It was like, aw, too perfect.
Didn't they use a... Oh, wait, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
My favorite, not my favorite, but the one that comes to my mind for selfish reasons is... I guess it would have been 2000 because it was the first one after we started the website. And we said, okay, it's Disneyland's birthday. Let's have a meet. And we decided to meet in the exit of the Opera House.
Yeah.
Figuring, you know.
You
we'd
know,
get
five
our,
people.
Yeah. And we just, it was a nuisance. We were a public nuisance. We packed the place.
We had to, like, cut it short. We had to not hang around each other as much as we wanted to because there were just too many of us at the exit. And Doobie and I are really particular about value the magic. We realize that not everybody has been to Disneyland as a billion times as we have. So we try really hard not to intrude on other people's fun when they're there. So for a while, we started having these meets at Fantasia Gardens because that's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Nobody,
you know, average,
nobody would ever be
average
there.
Average Joe's not going to walk by. And then we got too big for that.
So we started
doing meeting with special events. And we had 1 year, everybody gathered at Carnation and did the happiest breakfasts on Earth. Or no, sorry, happiest birthdays on Earth. And then another year we met out at Big Thunder Ranch. And that year was the year that Cynthia Harris, who was the president of the Disneyland Resort, she signed birthday buttons
for everybody.
That's
right.
Because she wanted to come. And then last minute she couldn't make it. So she sent a basket filled with buttons that were signed by her. And then another year we had it at Hollywood and Dine. And that was just so much fun. It's always a blast.
Is Hollywood Dine still there despite not operational?
Yeah, it's there. It's used for special events.
Yeah.
Like anything else.
I think it was already that by the time we were there.
That's a great play for a special event because it's cool.
Can I tell you my favorite birthday memory from the 50th?
Sure.
It was the people were lining inside DCA, and I was going to have none of that, right? So, but we were staying, I think we were staying at the Hojo.
Yes, we were.
And for some reason, I had access to get into the park in the morning. And I can't remember why, but, you know. And so I go just to kind of check out the scenes, and they had all the people lining up in the parking lot waiting to get into the line at DCA because they were told they couldn't start lining up until, like, 11 o'clock. But, you know, so that means everyone shows up at 9. And the bathrooms weren't open yet because they were still cleaning them. So, like, here's all these people sort of essentially in the parking lot, and they can't pee.
Aw, Walt would have been so proud.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, we're all really tired because we got up at like 6 o'clock. We saw the ceremony, which was a fantastic ceremony. I remember the protesters and everything.
You can see it on the front page of LP right now.
And then, you know, I'm waiting for like the 4:45 rededication moment or what have you. And I it's hot as blazes. I go to a drinking fountain. I push in. And it doesn't work.
I remember that.
Oh, wow.
I remember that.
He did this on purpose.
We laughed. Oh, that was too funny.
And your heels that day, too, as I recall.
Gotta stop wearing heels.
Oh, and all the gold mouse ears that day. Everybody wearing the gold mouse ears.
Because they were free, weren't they? Yeah, they gave away free
mouse
ears.
With the date embroidered on the back.
Remember walking in with all the cast members lining the street, applauding everyone?
Yep. Yeah, it was special. They did a really nice job. But they always, I think, even when they do something really small, it's always something really nice and special. Like Cynthia and the Disneyland ambassadors led us in a simple singing of Happy Birthday to Disneyland 1 year. It wasn't, you know, nothing, no great shakes. There wasn't some big thing to announce, no big celebration around it. Just a really simple moment. It was just nice.
Disneyland, that's a hard word to stick in Happy Birthday.
Happy Birthday. Oh, now it's the Disneyland Resort.
Disneyland Park.
Presentation of a Pixar idea.
Okay, so if you were in SoCal today, what would your Disneyland day be like today? What would you, you know, what's kind of like you've got to do?
Because
I was thinking about exactly what I would do today. I thought about it earlier.
I mean, I'd be going to all the meets, but aside from that, I would want to do as many of the opening day attractions as I could. But most importantly, I would want to do the choo-choo.
Oh, yeah.
And I would want to go stand where Walt stood to do the ceremony with you by my side, dressed in all black and white. And just feel like I was there.
Okay. That was a little disturbing. I'm a little creeped out. But thanks for sharing.
I'd go to DCA.
Okay.
I'm guessing the lines are fairly low. Yeah, I could go to Twister Mania a couple times. Try and get up to the Beaver level.
Uh-huh, sure. No, come on. Seriously, be honest.
Honestly, I probably would be at Disneyland in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just walk. I probably wouldn't do any. Like feel like I had to do anything. And then I would honestly probably go to DCA because it's probably just kind of crazy. You can only take so much of the craziness in one day. I mean, I'm old now. I mean, back in the day, like before I lived here or there or anywhere there was a Disney park, I'd have been there from like park open and park close. But now I kind of like my little mellow. And then I would go back to Disneyland for the rededication moment at 4:45 and probably just chill out, maybe have some nice dinner. I'd go to the birthday thing, the happiest birthday on earth at the Plaza Inn, which is just a fantastic experience. And I would do all that stuff, but I wouldn't over plan it.
How about you, Captain?
I think I would just simply walk around and just kind of take in the the mood, as it were.
The
and the train, yeah. I like ambience. I like, you know, kind of be a little reflective. See everything and how it's changed.
Another one thing I wish I could do that I can't anymore is I'd like to just sit and listen to Rod for a while.
Yeah, I was thinking that was on my list of what I would do.
It would actually be cool to get, like, a book of, like, old photos of Disneyland and, like, go to where those photos were taken and see,
that's
like,
a cool
what,
idea.
Like, how different it is.
I like
oh,
that idea
would be
a lot.
Really cool.
Hey, next year.
We'll have
next
to do
year.
That next summer.
Honestly, you know what usually I end up doing on July 17th, back when I was there, was sort of sleep. Because the NFFC convention would take so
yes.
much out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so much fun mm-hmm. that you would just... You'd be like, okay, I'll be there in the morning, and then you're like, okay, I gotta go, you know, and just like take a nap and go back for, you know, wishes, not wishes, that'd be stupid, remember and Fantasmic and all that stuff. But you would, I remember always being tired by the time July 17th came around, I was ready for a nap.
How about you, Becca?
Well, I would start the day with breakfast at Riverbell Terrace.
Appropriate.
I just, there's something to me, this is a day at Disneyland. You guys start it there with a great breakfast right there. That's what we did on our last trip to
Aunt Jemima pancakes, yep.
I would want to experience the Tiki Room that day, the Mark Twain, the canal boats, which are Storybook Land, and the Casey Jr., and the train, and Snow White. Those would be like my must-do. I wouldn't feel good if I hadn't done those.
You would skip the bathroom
today.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, strangely enough.
Okay.
I would
skip the bathroom
today. I would be very sad that I wouldn't be able to sit and listen to Rod Miller. I would have a reservation at Plaza Inn for a happiest birthday because you cannot not do that on Disneyland's birthday.
You
can. Okay, yeah, I'm with you. That works.
You have to. That is like the best way to celebrate Disneyland's
That's
birthday.
For sure.
And I loved it the time we went and celebrated Mickey's birthday there. It's a fun experience. And then I would probably head back to Hojo's and take a nap.
Hojo, Howard Johnson at Anaheim, great hotel.
Because I'm old. And then I
see a theme here.
And then I
we're not getting the key demos.
Head back into the parks later in the day. I'd get there for the moment, the 4:45 moment, which is really always a neat moment, and enjoy dinner. That was the hard part. I was thinking, where would I want to enjoy dinner? And it's hard now because there's so many places that where I know people that to me reflect what it is to be a Disney cast member. And you'd want to be around those kind of people on Disneyland's birthday. So it's like, do I want to go to Storytellers and see Vicente and Ian and all those crazy people? Or do I want to go to the Napa Rose and see Chris and Donde and Poe and Mickey?
I understand all that, and I would go visit all those people. But at some point, you've got to go and see Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Because he's been there longer than anyone else.
Right. And so that would be the hard decision. And then I would want to get a scoop of ice cream in the evening to enjoy when I watch fireworks.
I know where you should go for dinner.
Where?
Notch Chicken Dinner Restaurant.
No. Uh-huh. No. Not on Disneyland.
Well, true, but it's still yummy.
Oh yeah.
You have to work
Notch Chicken Dinner Restaurant.
You should go there someday.
1-800 Eat Knots. That's probably not right. Whoever owns that 800 number, I supremely apologize. If you dial it, let me know. I'll be curious.
But that would be my itinerary for Disneyland.
You gotta work in a ride on Mr. Toad so that he could, you know, you're looking for a microphone.
If it has a long line, you can just go on Alice, and when you're getting really hot, just feel like you're on Mr. Toad.
Dude, I remember the day when that finally clicked when I was like, oh, we must be over hell. That's why it's so hot.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it finally clicked in my head.
Otherwise,
I thought it was really weird. Yeah, no, it's better to be over hell.
Is it possible to be under hell?
Is it
How
like
many
a...
angels can dance
right
on
now?
This?
I feel like I'm in.
Join the other 14 listeners.
Okay, so.
Wow, big week.
So, should we discuss Disneyland favorites since it's Disneyland's birthday?
It's your show.
Like, what's your favorite Disneyland counter service location?
R2P2.
Oh yeah, that is counter service.
That's counter.
Isn't it?
I don't think scramble service is a separate question on your list.
No, that's true.
I'll go with R2P2.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a tie between R2P2 and Plaza Inn. I really like Plaza Inn, but also I really like R2P2.
Mm. I probably should say just in case R2P2 is Red Rocket's pizza port.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
Didn't we discuss pizza port last?
We
episode?
Did yeah, because someone was asking for places to
it,
eat.
It all goes back to pizza port, but yeah, I would agree with that.
R2P2. All of Disneyland is actually just the story of R2P2.
Isn't that where the spike is? center of...
Where's your favorite place to enjoy a snack?
Wait, you didn't answer the... What about you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Red Rockets.
Okay.
But what's your favorite place to enjoy a snack? Like, when you're just, like, middle of the day, you just want to have a pretzel or a candy or something, and then you take it somewhere.
A cookie from New Orleans Square or someplace. What's the place that sells cookies there?
And where would you eat it?
Where would I eat it? Just in the kind of the general area where there's tables in New Orleans Square.
My favorite place is not doable anymore, unfortunately, but I would love to get a fritter and a mint julep and go up to the gallery balcony or the courtyard.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great place to enjoy a snack midday.
I need to eat more snacks.
Don't have a favorite snack spot?
No, because I just never really did. I mean, I never ate snacks. Like, I mean, I get a churro every once in a while at the New Orleans churro cart waiting for Fantasmic.
But... Well, what about kind of a place where you can kind of step away from the madness and kind of just collect your thoughts? Because every once in a while, like, you know, you're at the theme park and it just gets to be overwhelming, but you don't want to leave, but
you know
just
what? I would
space.
Go. I would go. I went to, I don't mean this as a joke, but Interventions.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
It's kind of because it goes around. Nobody really notices that you've been just going running in circles for like 3 hours. And it's just kind of, it's air conditioned, which is a big plus.
Yeah, that's always good.
And little kind of play things.
Oh,
to
I know my favorite place to get a snack, the Moonliner.
With just the launching soda?
And you?
It's tough. I was thinking New Orleans Square. I used to enjoy getting an iced coffee and a cookie. Mm-hmm. I like the chocolate chip cookie.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, that was always nice. And then sit somewhere over there by the Rivers of America because I just love to watch the Mark Twain ride by.
We seem to really be partial to the New Orleans Square area.
I miss
everybody.
It's funny
how the world's lamest land, yet has everything people want
to
do.
And it's so wonderful that they made sure to replicate it in every other park they built.
Well, not here because it's so close to New Orleans.
And Liberty Square.
It wouldn't be wise.
Liberty Square is no New Orleans Square.
No, agreed.
No, I agree.
But
it makes sense. I mean, to me, it makes sense when you think about it. But they forgot that when they built California Adventure, apparently. It's just a really funny thing when you think about it. Yes. Here they are. They build this park in Florida. And the stories I've always heard were, oh, well, we won't build a New Orleans Square there because you've got, you know, the real thing, you know, within a day's drive.
That's why they didn't want to build a Pirates of the Caribbean.
And so then they go and build an entire theme park. It's funny.
Dick Nunes?
No, I guess not.
I have no idea. If that was your decision, or if it wasn't your decision, I don't care. Anyway, what's your next question? I like this.
Okay, well, then let me think of another one. No, it's fine. I can think of another one. What's your favorite water attraction at the Disneyland?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep, I knew that would be yours, Captain. But, you've got Splash, you've got
a lot of choices.
The Storybook Land, Small World.
If I'm thirsty,
Jungle.
I would say the Water Fountain. But otherwise... I would give Jungle the slight edge over the Mark Twain.
Okay.
It's a small world.
Old or new?
Oh. No, it's just a small world. I haven't been on the new one.
With the characters and the Disney music?
It's hard for me to narrow it down, honestly. I love almost all the water rides at Disneyland. The one I don't care for is Columbia. I never was a big fan of riding the Columbia,
except that
it was kind of
rarely
there.
Have you been downstairs?
There. Yes, I have.
Oh, yes, and my head knows it.
But
mind that head, Fred.
I love the canoes. Okay.
Yeah. The canoes. I was thinking that was one. That's a highlight.
That is an attraction I despise.
If they
I
were
love
still
that
around,
attraction.
You don't row, we don't go.
My favorite actually
the
is the keel boats. The keel boats, but they're gone because you felt like you were just going to flip over, and then one time they did, and that was that. Okay, so let me do one for you guys in a popcorn or churro format, because that is my favorite part of the show.
It's your favorite part of the show. It's your favorite part of the show.
I've probably done this before, but I'm going to do it again because it's appropriate today. So, Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah, Captain, I know. Rebecca?
Oh, that's hard. you know what? Pre-Johnny Depp, it would have been Pirates. Post-Johnny Depp, it's Haunted Mansion.
Even though it's post-Floating Head?
Yeah. With the changes that they've made, I have to go Haunted Mansion over Pirates.
Fanboy?
When I was a kid, and this has nothing to do with the refurbishment, it was Pirates. But then as I grew older, Haunted Mansion. And still to this day, Haunted Mansion.
I think we know my answer is Haunted Mansion.
Yes. Haunted Mansion scared me when I was little.
Fanboy, since you... publicly don't like monorails, I will enjoy asking this question to the table, starting with you. What is your favorite Gurmobile?
See, and I love Bob Gurr, and I don't want my distaste of monorails to sway anyone's opinion about Bob Gurr. I think if you actually honestly asked Bob Gurr, he'd probably tell you monorails are not the most efficient form of transportation. My favorite Gurr-mobile would have to be the Omnibus.
Rebecca?
What are they called? The Atom Mobiles?
The Omni Mover?
Yeah, well, but I mean, it's Atom. The Atom Mobile. Yeah, the clamshell thing. Because to me, it's just so brilliant. You have the vehicle, and it directs where you look. I mean, unless you're a little kid who, like, you know, hangs out of it to look all around where you're not supposed to look. So, yeah, the way that they're built, you're not supposed to look in certain places, and they have it built that way. And so, you know, I know when you realize that that's what they're doing, you can kind of peek around the corner or whatever, but you feel like you're not looking where you're supposed to be looking. And I just love the way that they direct your attention. It's cool.
I absolutely agree.
My real answer is the monorail because they're fun, but I've got to say, putting that aside, the Omnibus, because you get a second-story view.
You and the second-story view.
There's something special
you
about
love
the second-story view. Absolutely.
And the Main Street vehicles are a lot cooler at Disneyland than they are here, because you get the whole spiel and you get the cast members. I don't think have changed in the last 45 years.
No. I would agree. That's
no,
awesome.
No.
It's very special and reassuring when you walk in the park and you see a familiar face.
Yeah. Who I think is actually transferring to Haunted Mansion shortly.
No. That'd be weird.
What?
Never mind. Have you seen some of those guys look a little gaunt?
That's what I thought you meant.
I was trying
horrible.
I was trying to play it off nice. I tried.
Oh, that's horrible.
I tried to play it off nice.
Anyone else got any Disneyland favorite questions before we move on? I enjoy this, so I'm just.
What's your favorite Disneyland attraction that has no motion? So, like Tiki Room, you're seated. Mr. Lincoln, you're seated. Oh, wait, that's not there anymore. It's Disneyland something or other.
Country Bear.
Yeah,
that's my favorite Disneyland attraction that has no motion whatsoever.
It was there. I am definitely Tiki Room. I've been Tiki Room more than any other attraction.
I guess.
That has motion.
I don't consider that true motion.
State of Florida does.
Well, that's fine, but.
Well, what about California?
Disneyland.
What about California?
I don't consider it motion. Fine. That doesn't require a seatbelt.
Okay.
Oh, no, that would be Small World. Yeah. Oh, well, I tried.
I know what you mean.
It's like a dark ride. You know it when you see it.
No, you don't.
Nobody said Cosmic Waves.
That's gone.
I know. That's my favorite water ride.
Dude,
actually.
Remember when they first opened that and this, like, Tomorrowland just was like this overpowering smell of chlorine?
The fun will be the guests trying to avoid getting hit by the water.
Yeah, whatever. That was so much fun.
My favorite ride that doesn't... I guess technically not a ride. My favorite attraction that doesn't require motion. That's an interesting question.
There aren't very many of them.
Teacups?
Fantasmic.
Oh, very good.
That's a show.
No, but it counts.
It's supposed to be a Tiki Room.
That's
an attraction. It's not scheduled.
It is every 20 minutes.
It counts.
You can't tell it or finish. It's just like a dark ride. You can't tell the difference.
Fine. If you don't count that, which I does count, but just for argument's sake, I won't. I want to be a dude.
Thomasina.
What, is there anything to do in that park?
Tarzan's Treehouse?
No.
We're trying motion, but it's not a ride.
Yeah.
Mickey's House.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, fine.
I remember when Toontown opened.
You prefer Mickey's to Minnie's?
Yeah. He's got the barn. You can watch cartoons.
Okay.
Mickey has a bigger pad.
Jolly Trolley, that doesn't have any motion. But I'm pumped. Oh. I'll be here all... Well, maybe not.
This just in. Apparently Anheuser-Busch has been sold.
It has been purchased.
Well, pending,
yada, yada.
It has to be ironed out and everything.
InBev.
Now, normally this...
it's marrying its cousin?
Normally this doesn't matter very much because they don't even sell beer at Disneyland. But apparently Anheuser-Busch has more in its repertoire than beer. They have a theme park or two or more.
Or three or four.
So,
I think I saw the park in Africa as well as the one in Europe.
So Anheuser-Busch being the owners of SeaWorld and the Busch Garden family of parks.
And Sesame Place.
Two of those being here. Three of those. Two of those. some of those being here in Central Florida. Do they have a water park down in
Yes.
Yeah, so.
They have two water parks.
Oh, yeah, they have Aquata here.
So there's four.
And Discovery Cove.
Yep.
Five.
Well, and they've really been, you know, making a push here with Aquatica now and everything. So yep. how might this affect Disney? And is there any way in the world, since the presumption is InBev is going to sell off the theme parks, is there any way in the world Disney buys them?
Didn't Disney bid on SeaWorld and before Bush got it?
I don't know, Davey.
I think so. So they've been interested in the past. So I really doubt they'll jump on this one.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine that they would just outright buy that, because it would seem, I don't think that they need that kind of growth in here and in Tampa, but it would be awesome to see another group come in and take over those theme parks, because I think it just helps the industry here, especially if it's somebody who's willing to continue to put the kind of money and
that's the thing.
Yeah,
we'll see who's
innovation.
We'll see who's in the theme park running business who actually kind of keeps up the old standards.
I guess it's sort of scary because it's backfired a lot lately. With Cedar Fair kind of screwing up knots, Six Flags is not. I mean, while they have every good intention, not having any money to do nothing.
Well, Cedar Fair as well. They're bankrupt.
Yeah, but not nearly as bad.
Has Cedar Fair screwed up knots?
I think so. I think they've taken all the charm out of it. Six Flags could buy SeaWorld and build 10 million metal roller coasters. I don't think that's exactly what we're looking for.
Nobody really considers Cedar Fair to be very good park operators.
Okay.
But you know, I mean, just the way the economy is, it's going to be someone with a lot of capital that's not looking for a large return on investment. So, you know, I'm thinking it might be like Merlin Entertainment or another venture capital group that it might be even a new venture capital group that might try and purchase something.
When I heard this, I thought, what about the whole Dubai project? What will come of that now?
Who knows?
Good question.
Who knows?
It's kind of sad in a way. I mean, hopefully someone good comes, but SeaWorld, they've making it clear they plan to play. Whereas Universal, I mean, they've got the Harry Potter thing now, but for a while there, we were worried that they were just kind of petering out and just running what they've got. But SeaWorld really seems to be – Bush really seems to be trying with SeaWorld.
And I don't drink beer, and so I have no affinity to that. Budweiser. But you really got a feeling like they were a quality operation. Now, it could have just been smoke and mirrors. But when you went there, you were like,
beer.
This Bush company, you know, is a good company. And I just was watching ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. They had a commercial that says the Great American Lager, made, you know, by a Belgian company now. And you really got that feeling. They were always talking about we're the last American-owned brewery. They had the Clydesdale horses with a little Dalmatian dog, you know, the little hospitality center, and you know, the Salute Our Heroes promotion at all their parks.
Very Americana.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, I mean, they can keep that brand, but will they? And
that'd
also,
and it is just a brand.
Right.
Yeah, it's sad to see that kind of true American.
But
you kind of
felt like, I mean, I know it wasn't the case, but that August Bush, you know, had a brewery, and then he thought it would just be fun to open up some theme parks, and he was just sort of, you know, putting money in there. You didn't really get a feel like it was
kind of like having a chicken restaurant and deciding maybe we should have a ghost town.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's when Knott's was good. And, you know, I don't want them to overthink. I bet you 100% that Anheuser-Busch theme parks were not run as efficiently as they could have been, or as business savvy as they could have been, but the quality was better because of it.
Savvy.
I think what will be interesting to see is, in light of the global focus on the environment and those types of issues, SeaWorld to me is a tremendous brand to capitalize on in light of all that, with Shamu and whatnot.
Rocks.
I mean, I
he
understand.
Rocks,
I understand.
Rocks,
there's arguments
rocks.
On both sides as to the, you know, whether or not orcas should be kept captive or whatnot. But I mean, if you think of it as an educational tool, which is really what SeaWorld has been trying to do in recent years, is to kind of bring, in essence, they have these locations so that you develop an affinity for these animals and thereby have a greater desire to keep the environment clean because you understand, you know, you don't want to ruin Shamu's home kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And so I think that right now it makes it a more desirable brand than maybe it might have been a few years ago. So I'll be very interested to see how it comes. Now, the other Busch Garden parks, they aren't in the other areas except for here in Tampa. Tampa is more of a zoological focus than, like, say, Busch Gardens Europe up in Williamsburg. But
it definitely is not a zoological focus.
No.
Its focus is breaking my cell phone.
On the big bad wolf because you had it in your pocket. But that's a beautiful, beautiful park. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what happens, because in some ways when we went to those parks, we were like, wow, you know, there are some things that they're doing really right here. And, you know, Disney has to make sure that they stay on top of their game, because people have traveled less miles to come to this location, mm-hmm. and they're having this type of experience. So that only increases to some extent what they expect once they put the kind of investment that they do into going to a Disney theme park. And I think that only benefits the guests.
I think that Busch did a really good job finding their balance, in that they weren't trying to compete with Disney World in the same way Universal was, and obviously failing miserably because they're not Walt Disney World. They were happy to be the extra days. You know, they didn't rely on a lot of hotels to fill it up. They opened up a nice water park that people went to, and they opened up Discovery Cove, which is definitely its own thing, and SeaWorld, and they were happy to be your sixth day. And there might be pressure from someone who's trying to make more money than they probably can to create more of a resort mentality that won't work.
Speaking of Universal, are they solidly Universal now? I know for a while there was talk of them. Wasn't there being...
Well, the theme parks are run... They're half-owned by Universal and half-owned by a different investor, but they are owned by... I mean, the Universal share is still owned by Universal. There was talk forever about spinning them off, but right now it's very difficult because they use that land. You know, I mean, it goes throughout their back lot. So how do you do that?
Is it NBC Universal still?
Yes, NBC Universal.
NBC Universal.
Another interesting thing about the timing of this is that just earlier this year, or perhaps it was late last year, Busch moved their theme park offices out here to Florida. Previously, they'd been centered in right there, you know, at the corporate headquarters there in the St. Louis area. Right. But they moved all their creative team out here to Central Florida. I guess they have some offices up here in Orlando and some of them down in Tampa. So just that restructuring itself, it makes me – it's just an interesting timing. That may make it even more desirable. It could make the separation I guess what I'm saying is it could make the turnover easier.
Sure.
Because if that unit has already kind of separated in some ways out from Busch to this locale, perhaps it can kind of go wholesale with the purchase, as opposed to before. I wonder if you kind of might have gotten lost in the shuffle of the sale.
Maybe that's why they do it.
Maybe a purchase isn't the right answer. I mean, they need... You know, we're going by the assumption that they need a purchase to pay for the purchase of Anheuser-Busch by InBev. But I think if I was an investor, the answer I would want would be a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a really well-run division, especially with the transition over here, and I wouldn't want anyone messing with it.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because it'll definitely impact Disney. I mean, I'm not saying in a negative, like, you know, oh, no, the, you know, sales are going to drop. Not like that, but when those types of things happen here, it changes the climate, it changes the focus, has impact on Central
Florida
travel.
Their employees, are they still going to get beer every 2 weeks?
I know, I wondered about that too. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to the Central Florida tourism with this change.
Now they get to choose from more beers.
I know, huh? Stella something.
Only if they stay within InBev.
Stella.
Artoy, is that what how it's
called? Artoy?
No, it's Artois. I've never ordered it in a bar. So, yeah. That's one of their minor brands, InBev.
Are they going to change the name of the secondary series in NASCAR because of this?
We don't know. Wait, they already did.
It's nationwide right now. What has me concerned as an Evernham race fan is what's going to happen with Casey Kane's car next year. Because right
know.
Now he's a Budweiser car.
I'm on pins and
will,
needles.
Will he stay a Budweiser car?
What will happen?
This is the concern of
what
my
What about
life.
The Busch brothers? Are they going to have to...
They're changing their name. They're officially the InBev brothers. That's Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
You know what's sad? We're talking about NASCAR on this podcast. People are going to think we actually...
Up next on the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
High School Musical 3.
Woohoo! I loved the trailer.
That rhymed. LPP.
You think that was an accident?
You know
I script this thing out carefully.
I loved the
10 hours you spent coming up with that rhyme.
Debuted this week was the new trailer.
It was awesome.
For High School Musical 3.
I'm so excited.
I'm still befuddled on what you thought you saw before.
I saw something before. It just wasn't that.
Because right before the show, I hadn't seen it. And so he pulls it up to show me.
Because you can see it on Disney.com.
This is not the trailer I saw.
I saw what seemed to be like part of a music video.
Was it part of a music video, maybe?
It may have been.
Instead of the trailer?
It may have been.
Now or Never, as a song that premiered on Radio Disney. The planet premiere, if you will.
It probably was. So anyway, but the trailer was cool. That movie's exciting.
Popcorn or Churro. High School Musical 3, Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
HSM 3.
Although, that's not saying Beverly Hills Chihuahua is not exciting.
Yeah, it is. Let me say, Beverly Hills Chihuahua is not exciting.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua is not exciting.
It is exciting. They're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm starting to feel lonely.
It's okay. Right, cute little doggies dancing on screen.
Yeah. What else do you want? I mean,
oh, anything?
Okay. Just because it's not a zebra.
Except for sisterhood.
Why did we?
Are you trying to compare Beverly Hills Chihuahua and
Racing Stripes?
Racing Stripes, as if there's some connection, some competition, like they're even in the same plane
of
movie making.
I think the Chihuahua would know how to go over the hill.
It's over the hill.
Oh, man. That is one of the more silly moments for us in movie history. Racing Stripes. Here, for those of you who don't listen to the podcast all the time, long time ago we would have shared this story, yeah. But in Racing Stripes, this girl, she keeps wanting to go to the track. And she keeps talking about how far away it is, and all this kind of stuff throughout the film. And then in the climax of the film, something happens, and someone has to go to the track, and they just, like, in essence, run down a hill in her backyard and go to the track.
And then they're there.
And it's like, well, what was all the talk throughout the rest of this film?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point you find out the zebra that can race is because she needs him to get to the track.
Yeah.
And
all of a sudden, it's like, down the hill. Okay. So there you go. So we always talk about the hill.
Don't be a zebra.
That was pretty clever, guys.
So we said it at the time in the theater. I remember too.
When he said, when the little guy said, when the zebra said, nobody told me I was a zebra.
Aww. Nobody ever told me that before.
And then Jonathan's.
Frankie Muniz is one heck of an actor.
Yeah, and then John said, "See, don't be a zebra." It's awesome. Okay, but we were talking about
High School Musical 3. I don't know if there's much more to say. We saw the trailer.
It was cool.
It was very good.
Yes. We got who was it who emailed us and said that they're, you know, still wish it was Drew Seeley?
Our good buddy Brent.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and read his email now.
Sweet.
Oh, my LPP friends, what a wonderful feedback podcast that was. But the real question is, are you trying to kill the diabetic saying we should go for ice cream?
I am so sorry about that. I wasn't even really thinking about that. Sorry.
The answer would be no. But you can have some. What did I serve?
We could get two with one though, because we could have peanut butter topping on it.
And kill me.
And then we get rid of Fanboy too.
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay. In all honesty,
I got the death look.
Brent goes on. In all honesty, I ate a good portion of a kitchen sink one time, but that's besides the point.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
I could always come
living on the edge.
And this is, in case you forget, this is the guy who said he's moving down here, and we invited him to join the crew for a while. He says, I could always come onto the show and share diabetic insight, or just my insight, because that's what I am good at. And odd stupid humor, just call me J.C. Skipper Brent. J.C. Skipper Brent.
Jungle Cruise.
As far as the Joe Bro concert, I know what you mean with all the girls screaming, I love you, Nick, while he is singing about fighting a disease and not letting it bring him down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a moment. But what can you do?
I wish they move it to Chicago.
But what can you do? I've heard enough OMGs to last me 100 lifetimes.
Oh, that's for sure.
I look forward to more podcast greatness.
Keep listening.
In the next episode, with your
thoughts. And he said more. That implies there's been some.
With your thoughts on the first song from High School Musical 3, Now or Never, and the trailer for the movie. Personally, I just thought it was blah. But maybe that's because I hate Zach singing and still think Drew Seeley should be singing for Troy. Mark is the mole. Brent. P.S. Any big plans for the crew for Pleasure Island's closing night? Is the crew heading to Adventures Club for the final hoopla?
Hoopla.
No.
No.
I've never been there. I figure
that's
Captain will
be
there,
a
though.
That's crazy crowded.
And you'll be there, won't you, Captain?
I'll see what's going on. I don't think I'll get anywhere.
I find that place crowded on like a random Wednesday night. I don't want to be there on any special
night. It's not
night.
Crowded. It just gets business.
No.
It's not crowded. No. It's popular.
No. It's crowded. I mean, there's not enough seats for the number of people that wish to experience an attraction. It is crowded.
Unless it's Wonders of China.
Hey, did you know that you would need 329 gallons of tea to fill up a teacup found in Fantasyland?
Thank you.
No problem.
So, did you like the song Now or Never? Because he didn't.
I did. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I'm curious to see, like, is it the opening number? Is it the closing number? Is it just a middle number?
Is it the magic number?
No, it's not three.
Yeah, it is. High School Musical 3.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Never mind then. Case closed. Moving on.
I just got to mention, though, you know, forget the singing voice. Zac Efron just creeps me out.
You got that right.
Doobie calls him a Frankenstein.
No. You call him Greeny's a Frankenstein.
I thought that you said that Troy was a Frankenstein.
You call him
you say he's a Frankenstein. Yes, because of his bold eyebrows.
He's got the demon.
Yeah, I mean,
seriously,
those eyes.
So you go beyond Frankenstein for
Which
him.
Which isn't a comment on the person that
I
is
understand.
Zac Efron, who stopped and interviewed with us at the High School Musical 2 premiere.
Which
at the
is
Disneyland
very,
Resort.
Very kind.
This is a comment on his freaky-looking face. He's demonic-looking.
No, I have a question. When you call that guy Frankenstein...
Yeah.
Are you referring to...
I'm talking about the doctor.
Okay.
Just not the checking. Monster.
Okay.
Not the monster. And by the way, it's Frankenstein.
Poor Zach.
And I must agree with Brent here. His singing was much, much better in the first High School Musical.
Okay.
You know what I want?
I think Judy Kuhn did that singing, didn't he?
You know what I want to... Didn't he? What are you saying about Judy Kuhn?
Oh, dude. Yes.
What were we talking about?
GDQ.
No, but before that.
Frankenstein.
Zac
Efron. Demonic.
His voice was better in the first one.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Number. Hey, some other music came out this week, but I haven't heard any of it. Have you fanboyed that Disney country album?
Yeah, well, here's the story on that.
Okay.
Remember a couple years ago, there was a CD called... like. You know, the best of country, just Disney. Okay. Yeah, they kind of re-released it with adding some Billy Ray Cyrus and...
Whoa, this CD that they're talking about is a re-release of the CD from like 12 years ago?
It's like they got some mixing up today, but, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Color me disappointed.
I couldn't find it on iTunes when I looked the other day.
Yeah, probably good.
You can find it in our closet.
So you're saying that I don't have to rush out and buy it, apparently, no. if I own the other one.
If you own Disney Mania 6 and the other one.
And
yeah.
Unless you like Billy Ray Cyrus.
No, it's not Disney Mania 6.
I was watching Hannah Montana the other day, and they were chasing a mouse. The dad and
Jackson
were chasing a mouse, and the mouse starts going on a piano and starts, like, playing a song. And then so Robbie Ray asks, do you know Achy Breaky Heart? And I went, oh, that's a clever little... nod, and then I realized, wait, this is kind of blowing my mind, because Robbie Ray is not Billy Ray Cyrus. That's a character he performs. So does Robbie Ray do a cover of Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart, or does Robbie Ray just like Achy Breaky Heart, performed by Billy Ray Cyrus, who looks creepishly like Robbie Ray from Hannah Montana?
Oh, wow.
Wow. You're deep.
Wow.
That's almost as disturbing as that dance was.
What dance?
Achy Breaky Heart.
I want to... Yeah, that makes me miss the neon cactus.
Yeah.
You know what would make you feel better? Telling us all about E3 in Los Angeles.
E3!
What does the 3 stand for?
Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Okay.
Plus 3.
Oh, except if they changed the name, so it's now the E3 Media and Business Summit. So now it's the Electronic Entertainment Expo Media and Business Summit. So I think E3 has just become its own brand.
E3 is just the name. It doesn't stand for anything anymore.
Like Epcot.
Okay, Epcot, yeah.
NFFC.
Frisbee. No, that's the other thing. Never mind. Frisbee is those, you know, brands that have become
SAT.
Generic. Mm-hmm. It stands for something.
No, it doesn't. Now it just stands for SAT.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it stand for the other anymore?
Because they're not really testing your scholastic aptitude anymore.
Ridiculous.
No, see, that's a question in the SAT. Well, what should this stand for?
The SAT is to... Scholastic Aptitude Test, as Epcot is to...
Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Disney can decide that Epcot can stand for whatever they want to, but a Scholastic Aptitude Test is a Scholastic Aptitude Test.
You know what? I didn't make this decision. You think I woke up and go like, you know what? The SAT should change its name. No. Move on.
How'd okay. you do on those SAT? Never mind.
So tell us about the E3.
I did well.
Mr. 1600.
Yeah, but now they had another segment that's like a stupid person.
Back when it was out of 4,000.
Well, you know, we all know that Disney has focused its energy on developing new video games, spending, I believe the technical term is truckload of money.
Like a magnifying glass focuses sunlight on a little ant.
Yeah, actually, I think that's one of their new games called A Bug's Life.
Oh.
Revenge of Hopper. It's great that they were using their Pixar franchises to the best of their abilities. So, anyway, did you know that Disney Interactive Studios was the number 10 publisher of video games during 2007 calendar year?
Wow.
Ooh.
Number 10? How many publishers? If you're the number 10
11.
Studio, that's nothing to be proud of.
Yeah, but there's a lot of – I think there's more niche. Yeah.
Okay. Did they beat Rockstar?
No, but coming soon from Disney Interactive Studios is Ultimate Band. It's a new interactive
Ultimate
music video for the Wii and Nintendo DS. It's kind of like Rock Band, except you don't have to buy any extra equipment because you can use your
Rockstar.
Because that's all the same thing.
I thought Rockstar made
the juice stuff.
Rockstar is the creators of Grand Theft Auto,
yeah,
aren't they?
Oh, I thought you were talking about that Ultimate
Band.
Rock Band.
When you said, then I got scared. What is he getting into?
Grand Theft Monorail.
I don't know, Doobie. I don't play games like Grand Theft Auto.
I play one game, and it ain't that.
No, it's MLB, the show.
The show.
Not even like the ESPN branded?
No, nope. This version is far superior.
Just have someone going back.
That's why this version.
So, Ultimate Band, where you can play songs such as Whip It, My Generation, Fell in Love with a Girl, Steady as She Goes, perhaps. What if there's a particular order? That's actually going, Fell in Love with a Girl, Steady as She Goes, Whip It, My Generation. It's a little story. Anyway, that is an example of some non-Disney branded, it's Disney branded, but not off of a current franchise, such as Pure, which is a racing game developed by Black Rock Studio, which is a racing studio in England. But they also have a video game, Bolt, Disney Fairies featuring Tinkerbell, Disney Sing It, which is a karaoke game featuring songs.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Camp Rock. We should just play this on a podcast.
I'm looking forward to the Disney Classic plug-in for it.
Oh, really? High School Musical, Hannah Montana, and Miley Cyrus, Ali and AJ, Jesse McCartney, and more. Also, High School Musical 3 Senior Year Dance, which is a dancing game.
DDR?
Yeah, except you use the controllers.
Okay.
And there's also High School Musical 3 Senior Year.
Okay.
But the game I'm excited most about, because I think it exemplifies exactly what Disney Interactive Studios is doing right. Club Penguin Elite Penguin Force for the Nintendo DS. They are taking an online property and making a video game property together under the newly created Disney Interactive Media Group.
Wow.
Is that exciting?
And given the interactivity of the Nintendo DS,
right,
it'll feed back into that social network.
So, but you know what's interesting? And I think, people wondered why Disney didn't get into video games earlier and stuff like that. A lot of these games are not typical. They're focused for girls. I mean, High School Musical 3, Senior Year Dance, High School Musical 3, Senior Year, Disney Seen It, Disney Fairies, Tinkerbell. Girls are trying to get into video games, so Disney, which does really well for girls, can maybe make a little money.
Well, from my understanding, the Disney Friends Nintendo DS game has gotten really solid reviews.
I like that. I bought one.
It's similar, I guess, in many ways to like the Nintendo Dogs brand, where you have, in essence, a virtual pet.
Nintendo.
But in this,
it's a cereal now.
But in this one, you start off with a little green alien, and you care and feed it, and then once you've you know, done certain, you kind of have to fulfill certain tasks with your little alien pet, then you get to pick another character. And over time, you have kind of a stable of Disney characters that you're taking care of.
Stitch, a Dalmatian.
I think Bambi is one of them.
Bambi.
Turn against you.
Jay Rizzullo.
Kill you?
What's that?
Okay. So that's exciting.
Well, I think most of us probably – I mean, I've just forced myself to start to get into video games as it's a big growth sector for the company. But most of us sort of watch it go by. But you could – just like Disney Channel has become a place where – that drives the Disney company, I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 years the video games drive the Disney company. I mean, if Pure is a huge hit, or Spectrobes, which is another video game, there was a sequel, Spectrobes 2, Electric Boogaloo, you know, maybe they'll make a movie. Who knows?
Quick question. I've asked a variation of this before, but I don't think I quite asked it this way.
In French?
Voulez-vous?
No.
I realize he's been, what, head of the company for 3 years now or so, Bob Iger?
Yep, give or take.
So technology is advanced, but did Michael Eisner have his hand on the tech end of media anywhere near as well as Bob Iger seems to?
No, because let's face it. I mean, as soon as he became head, he started all this stuff. I mean, you could even say Pixar was part of that, but the iTunes, the ABC.com, that all happened quickly. I mean, it's not like that couldn't have happened 3 months before.
True.
And the focus on Disney.com, and we could debate whether we like it, but at least there's a focus on it. As opposed to becoming – Disney.com is transitioning from a place that promotes Disney, you know, go to the parks, go to this. I mean, while it still will always do that, it will – it's becoming a destination in its own right.
Follow up. Since you have your finger on the pulse of media companies more than anyone, I know. Do other media companies, are they as focused on, I'll call it new media, as Disney is? Because when I hear new media companies, I much more hear about companies that started out as internet companies becoming media companies as opposed to, you know, Fox or NBC or whatever.
Well, Fox purchased News Corp purchased MySpace, and that's been their sort of driving focus. You also have CBS purchased CNET, and NBC is going in bed with a bunch of folks to do Hulu, and they're all trying to do stuff, but I think Disney's really trying to do it on their own brands,
right,
which is different than Fox and or anybody else, because you can. I don't think, you know, anyone's going like, woohoo, Fox.com. I mean, they might have affinity for the television network a little bit, but it's not like Disney.com. And that's why I think ABC is a little awkward in that we don't – you know, is that a brand? And what if – you know, since it's not as, obviously as strong a brand as Disney.com or ESPN, I mean, you have the two strongest entertainment brands under this company in terms of at least, you know – a broad base. You might like a better – you might like NBC more than you like ESPN, but at least you know what ESPN stands for and you know what Disney stands for. What – where does ABC fit into that is sort of a question. And I think when you look at where Disney will be acquiring – and Disney, I mean, don't fool yourself. Disney has a lot of cash on hand. They will be looking at acquiring something that's a brand just like ESPN or Disney. You know, there's talk of, you know, Lifetime or something like that. I'm not speaking of any insider stuff, but that's what Disney does best is they take a brand and I don't want to say exploit it, but that's what they're doing. They just sort of spread it and not in a, you know, slap it on a cereal box kind of way, but in a what other avenues can this do, whether it's ESPN the magazine, ESPN radio, ESPN, you know, .com, all the different stuff that is natural for them to get into. But they weren't necessarily focused on because you needed some more – you needed leadership that could get it there.
So in your biased opinion, is Disney the best-run media company right now?
Yeah, and that's not my – I mean Warren Buffett says that too, and it's not my only my opinion.
Okay. You could differ from Warren if you wanted
to. No, well,
he's had some success, I know, but he's no fanboy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to start Berkshire Hathaway 2, Electric Boogaloo.
How hard is that? You buy, you hold, the stock goes up, you make money. Anybody could do that.
No, but what's going to be interesting is, I think, seeing where we go from here. I think we know what our strategy is, but how do we grow it?
Okay.
So October should be fun.
Always is. September 27th, really fun.
What's that?
Adventurous Club.
Oh. Pocahontas as well, I think. I think that's the end date for Pocahontas.
And High School Musical 2, School's Out, is closing.
The last week of September as well.
Do you know, I haven't heard anything. I know that they're replacing a High School Musical 3 show at the studios. Has anyone heard anything about DCA? I mean, I can't imagine they won't, but...
I haven't... The announcement came specifically from Walt Disney World, so they didn't mention DCA, but...
They'll temporarily bring back Mickey's Garden while they're...
right here at Mickey's Garden. Come and join the fun.
But they'll add a bunch of the cast from High School Musical for no reason. It's like, hey, Zac Efron, what are you doing?
What time is it? Photosynthesis. It's time to grow.
Captain?
Do I have my notes here? Or do I have to look it up the old-fashioned way?
See, on my laptop.
The old-fashioned way for my old methods. All right, so last time I asked, the Wilhelm scream.
Yowie!
That would be the goofy yell.
That's the only one I know.
The Wilhelm scream would be probably most famous in Star Wars, I'd say, where Stormtrooper gets out of that one. It's like I think it's in every Star Wars film, I believe. It's in a lot of Lucas projects.
I got
a very
bad feeling about that.
Exactly. And I asked in Toy Story, when can you hear it? And that was when Buzz Lightyear gets knocked out the window. So DL Theo.
Yay.
I think Indiana Jones 4 had the best use of the Wilhelm scream in recent history.
What was it used then?
It was when they go through on the motorcycle through the library and some nerdy guy's like, It was just funny at the time. It's like, hey, it's the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, I wouldn't know it if it slapped me on the face and screamed in my ear.
The Wilhelm scream in your ear.
And do you have one for the folks today?
I have one for the folks today. True or false, the Abominable Snowman was in the Matterhorn when it opened. And the Matterhorn opened with Disneyland. And how tall is the Matterhorn?
That's not true or false.
So you have two true or false questions and one...
And one factual...
Numerical.
And I know the answer. Yay. I'm not going to share because that's not right. But I'm happy I know because I had no idea when the Wilhelm... What is it called?
Wilhelm
scream was in...
So you're asking, was the snowman there on day one of the Matterhorn?
Was the Matterhorn there
on day one of Disneyland?
Mm-hmm.
And how tall is the Matterhorn?
Mm-hmm. That's all Matterhorn related.
That's a good ride.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I can't wait till they get the new trains on that thing.
Popcorn or churro? Fantasyland or Tomorrowland?
For the Matterhorn placement.
Oh, okay. Oh, what is Tomorrow about Matterhorn? It's definitely
I just meant the different sides. I didn't mean like...
Oh, the left side. What's that? Tomorrowland side, because you get to slap the bridge.
I think the left side is one with the most dips in it, isn't it? I like that one.
When I was younger, I preferred the Fantasyland ride because you saw more representations of the monster. But I find the Tomorrowland side more fun.
I got to go Fantasyland side, but I just don't know why. It just feels right.
By the way, I think they changed it so you can't slap the bridge anymore. They used to have a board there.
They watched you. Yeah.
Yeah, the board's gone.
Because Doobie used to always stick his hands outside of ride vehicles and slap the...
Dolly's dip.
That would be, unfortunately, the Matterhorn.
No, I know that's the Matterhorn. Which side was that?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm so sad. They got rid of the Talking Rock, though. When I was there.
Yeah.
What? Like, I think he's just like a speaker now.
Oh.
It's like he's not a rock anymore. That was cool.
And they had to add all those handrails.
Mm-hmm. But as I said, I can't wait till they get the new vehicles. It may not be as, friendly as the old ones, but, give and take.
I wonder if lap seating is going to go the way of the past.
Ah, the good old days.
So awkward.
We got some Stump the Crew people.
Stump the Crew people.
We've got some Stump the Crew questions.
All right.
From Jeff Peterson. These are all, as he puts it, not really about Wally.
Okay.
So, Hal Roach, not the cockroach from Wally. What 1934 movie produced by Hal Roach featured appearances by Mickey Mouse and the Three Little Pigs?
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah? What?
Babes in Toyland.
Good guess.
Yeah,
I think he's right.
Okay.
But is that like the proper term for the name of that film?
Yeah, I wonder if that's the actual name of it.
I have no idea.
Which one are you thinking of?
The one produced by Hal Roach.
We'll find out. Second question. Sigourney Weaver, not the spaceship from Wally. What television show features Sigourney Weaver as the voice of a spaceship? I have no idea.
I have no idea.
We see you there. No one knows.
No, I'm not sure.
Wow, Stump the Crew.
Okay, well, I can, it's a television show. Let's go with Battlestar Galactica. I'm just making something up. Might as well guess.
At least you guessed one with a spaceship.
Yeah. Green Acres.
Okay, John and Mary, not the humans in Wally. Name the two stars of the 1969 motion picture John and Mary, and a Disney film credit for each one.
Dude.
Never heard of it, so...
Nope. I'm going to go with Fred McMurray and... Haley Mills.
Once you look up John and Mary and you know the actors, let us know and then we'll give Disney credits.
All right, two miscellaneous questions to make us feel smart. What is the name of the song in which Dr. Terminus has trouble pronouncing the name of the town he is visiting?
What's the name of the song?
Yes.
The name of the song is in Passamaquoddy?
It's either Passamaquoddy or Passamaquoddy.
Yeah.
It's Passamaquoddy.
Yeah, I think it's Passamaquoddy.
And final question, Toy Story Midway Mania. What do the attractions Toy Story Midway Mania and the Magic Kingdom's version of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride have in common?
Wait, Kate, read it again.
What do the attractions Toy Story Midway Mania and the Magic Kingdom's version of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride have in common?
You go to hell. It has two tracks. It has two tracks.
Like, what Toy Story Mania?
They have a rail in the middle. I don't think Toy Story Mania does, actually.
But I like the two-track idea.
Yeah,
I think
think you're right.
That seems right to me.
You go to hell.
Can you imagine? Your score is only 20. You go to hell.
I will now pause and look up the answer. And we're back. To the first question on Hal Roach, the answer is... Babies in Toyland.
Yay! Go me. It's my birthday. It's Disneyland's birthday. We are 53.
He espouses. Nope, that's not the word. He
espouses. He elucidates. He continues.
He says more. Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy starred in Babes in Toyland, later re-released as March of the Wooden Soldier.
See, that's what I was thinking of. Yep. There was a different name.
With Walt Disney's permission, the residents of Toyland included Mickey Mouse, played by a monkey in a costume.
Yes.
Much
have
like
you
today.
Ever seen
and
that
the
movie?
Three Little Pigs, played by three little people in costume.
Have you ever seen that movie?
That is,
that is one creepy movie.
The bogeyman at the end and everything.
Dude, that is a scary.
That is
they
one.
Used to show it on KTLA morning film festivals on Sundays with Tom Hatton all the time.
Then all of a sudden, Laurel and Hardy, and it's like, oh, those... They're kind of funny, but then it's like
it
all creepy.
It was so
family film festival.
It scared me so much.
I would watch it in case it was Pippi Longstocking, and if it wasn't, it was a click.
Yeah, well, I think it was. I think back then it was even black. It would have been even black and white on the TV. I think they've colorized it since then.
Are you
sure
that wasn't your TV?
Yes, I know. I didn't get a color TV till the 80s, but.
Okay, Sigourney Weaver. The name of the television show was Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the February 10th, 2002 episode of Futurama was entitled Love and Rocket. The story was themed to Valentine's Day as Bender fell in love with the Planet Express spaceship after it was reprogrammed with a new personality voiced by Sigourney Weaver. Yikes, that's hard. John and Mary, Dustin Hoffman, and Mia Farrow. So give me your credits. Dustin Hoffman's easy.
Tracy.
Dick Tracy, of course. The other ones he mentioned, Billy Bathgate and Moonlight Mile, perhaps not Disney label.
Which also goes for
Mia Farrow. So I'll go ahead and give you these. New York Stories, Miracle at Midnight for ABC, and the voice of Mrs. Wolf and Redux Riding Hood.
I've seen I go see every single Touchstone and Miramax film, right?
Not kids.
Okay, well, that was actually distributed by a different company.
Did you see Powder?
Yes.
Okay.
How could I miss those? I feel okay. We have to go see Swing Vote now.
The name of the song, Dr. Terminus, is Passamaquoddy.
Oh, very good, Captain.
And the Florida version of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride featured two ride tracks. Although Toy Story Mania has one boarding area, the ride has double ridership capacity because its track has switches and two sets of game rooms.
So, do you prefer the Tomorrowland side or the Fantasyland side?
I prefer the Winnie the Pooh side right now.
No, all
right. But just barely.
Barely.
Okay.
I believe next up on our show, do we have a theme song this week? Please, please, please.
What in the name of Walter Elias Disney was that?
It was bagpipes in the... Graveyard sequence of Haunted Mansion.
Oh, was that bonus track I spent?
That was the 13th track that you spent $300 for.
No, I got it that day. I just spent 2 hours of my life. I'm like, what kind of
We had really nice friends who picked one up and gave it to us.
That was very nice.
That was very nice of them because we couldn't make it until the event that night. And silly us, we thought we'd be able to buy merchandise at the event.
Who knew?
We would pay $65 for an event and the merchandise would be sold out before we got there.
Don't get me started on those. Anyway.
Thanks to friends, we got what we wanted.
So. You can have my 13th track.
That was it.
It was a flute.
It was worse.
Yeah, it was a flute thing.
Isn't it pronounced flout?
No,
a flautist plays the flute.
Anyway, I'm surprised. You call yourself a Disney fan. You said this is the 53rd birthday of Disneyland.
What shall I say, anniversary?
No. I went to Knott's Berry Farm at the chicken dinner restaurant.
Yes.
And there...
We were there.
Winner.
And there...
Coming out on DVD.
Their placemat said Disneyland opened in 1956.
And Walter Knott was there, so he would know.
Yep, and I don't actually believe it opened in 1956, but I do believe that is when they invited Walter Knott.
That's when they told him it opened.
That was so funny. What was it like, great moments in Anaheim?
Orange County.
Yeah, something, great moments in Orange County.
Because they were going to just do great moments in Buena Park, but they needed to cover the rest of the table.
Movie Land open, Movie Land closing.
We were like, something's wrong with this picture.
That was funny. Do you like the chicken dinner there? Is that a good place to eat? Do you recommend that for people visiting Southern California?
Yes.
That is some
Don't go to the park.
Goodies.
By no means.
I like the park.
The park's not bad.
Have you been there recently?
Have you been on Jaguar? That's one cool coaster.
Have you been on...
You gotta get the chicken dinner with the rhubarb and...
Boysenberry juice.
Boysenberry
punch.
I love
pie.
And pie.
The wooden coaster.
Cyclone?
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that's
They opened an inverted coaster recently.
Wooden?
Silver.
Inverted wooden?
No, but, just
what
inverted
What looks
steel.
Like fun to me is that new Pony Express.
That looks
that
like fun,
look
too.
Cute.
That
yeah.
looks fun.
Oh, and Berry Tales. I love the Berry Tales ride.
Aww.
Which was replaced by Kingdom of the Dinosaurs.
Let me say, I have never been so disappointed in my life as the first time I rode Imagination at Epcot. And compared to Kingdom of the Dinosaur, that is the best ride in history.
Kingdom of the Dinosaurs has to be one of the worst
attractions
we have ever been on. I'm sorry. That corkscrew hill thing over at
Busch
Gardens
wins
an award for me.
Is the worst attraction ever on any scale.
Is there anything there? Anybody know?
The Kingdom of the Dinosaurs still exists?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but I mean, what did they put there? They put a dark ride or...
I don't think anything replaced it.
Is it an empty building?
I think it's just an empty building.
Is Boomerang still there?
They might use it for like Halloween or something, but I don't think they actually use it for any attraction.
I think we went to Kingdom of the Dinosaurs with the West Coaster crew, didn't we?
Yep.
Oh,
they should have warned us.
I know, the crazy guys from West Coaster should have warned us.
Is Boomerang still there?
Boomerang is still there.
Boomerang's my favorite.
But it's purple. I think by the time when you moved out here, it still would have been blue and white.
Yeah.
Now it's purple and
green. I can't
ride
it now. I refuse to ride a purple coaster.
You'd ride it if it was pink, though.
Absolutely.
So would you ride Accelerator because it's pink?
That's not why I wouldn't ride it. See, what's next on the agenda? I think that's a show, except...
On the... What? Except for...
Except for the closing comments.
Oh, and our movie review.
Yeah, I'll do the movie review first. 50 Words or Less this week. Fanboy and I had the pleasure of seeing Journey to the Center of the Earth, starring Disney's Brendan Fraser, some lady who I didn't know, some kid who was from Bridge to Terabithia, wasn't he?
Yeah, in that other movie.
What?
Here's another movie we saw. This is the third
Firehouse
movie
Dog?
Seen.
He was from Firehouse Dog.
I like everything he's done. Mm. And starring, there's pretty much three people in this movie.
Yeah.
That's one of the neat things about
3D.
It. And 3D.
The dinosaur.
Starring a bunch of 3D.
Did they get the dinosaur from King of the Dinosaurs to make...
He made a cameo. That's where
he had a big head.
So what did you think, Fanboy? 50 Words or Less on Journey to the Center of the Earth.
I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun movie-going experience, although it could have used about 20% less cheap 3D tricks. In fact, when you see him pick up the yo-yo, you know there's only one reason that yo-yo is in the movie.
What do you give it, 1 to 10?
8.
Journey to the Center of the Earth was a really good movie. It was simple. It was light. It was fun. It was funny. Uncomplicated. My brain could handle it. It was BTW, and I give it a solid 8.5.
Can you please define BTW, by the way?
Better than Wally. Oh. And my favorite part of the movie, my second favorite part, I enjoyed the movie very much, but...
We're seeing the Fly Me to the Moon trailer?
there is no reason a couple of guys going to see a nice movie like Journey to the Center of the Earth should be subject to the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2 trailer.
Says the people who are going to be seeing Mamma Mia.
Here we go again.
If I saw the trailer there, I'd understand. But my favorite part of the whole experience was on our way in, the Wall-E movie was exiting.
This is so wrong, John.
And this guy was talking to the usher saying, it was okay, but I don't understand what the big deal is. It wasn't a special. It was just a decent movie. It made me smile. In fact, I turned around and said to the guy, exactly, exactly. It's a decent movie, but what's the big deal?
To the point that it almost looked like it was a little awkward. It wasn't just like, hey, man, brother. No, it was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you hear me? Can I get a witness? It was just...
It was not awkward. He was perfectly comfortable.
Dear headlights.
That's just because of how I look. Remember the first time I talked to you? You were pretty scared.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Wow, you were so desperate.
I just kept waiting for Doug to...
Okay, you know what happened? Today's observance.
Yes.
Get to know your customers day. Coincidence? Okay. You know, Disneyland and their kind of service-oriented.
I think
they prefer the term guest.
And that's true. If it was get to know your guest day, maybe.
That would be no question.
And on the 19th is toss away the could-haves and should-haves day.
You know what? People need to get a life, really.
I probably should observe that, but I won't. Is that what you got for us today, Captain?
That is what I have.
How about
I actually had something on my mind, but like usual, you know, it just slipped out.
That's why you should wear a hat.
I blame the rum.
How about you, fanboy?
I am getting excited for ABC's High School Musical, Get in the Picture, premiering Sunday and Monday on the American Broadcasting Company.
Sunday and Monday?
It's going to be really long.
They're showing pirates on it?
that's an interlude. It's exciting. I'm kind of surprised they didn't hold the trailer for that, but it seemed to make sense.
Should have held the Sister Yayahood trailer.
Okay, no. This is good reality television.
Wait, it's not Yayahood, is it? It's Traveling Pants. No. Those are two different movies.
Don't admit to knowing that. Don't. Take away your man card. Are you ready? Are you stoked? Are you excited?
I'm very excited about the upcoming fun of July 20th.
Woohoo.
July 20th. Boy, that date rings a bell. We'll see.
Happy.
Happy. Oh.
No, let's not do that.
Do you think...
By the way, when are we celebrating?
Do you think that High School Musical Get in the Picture will be the best ABC reality show of the summer?
No, Wipeout, hello.
Wipeout, that's what
is that a reality show, not just a game show?
You know, I'm using the generic reality show to mean anything where the main people on it are not actors.
Non-scripted.
So, yeah. Game shows that are not scripted are reality shows?
They're not really, but I'm...
Okay.
Game shows, I think, fall into the big...
Is this like Dark Rides again?
No. You know what he means.
This is not like Dark Rides because I'm not firm on this one.
Okay.
I'm right about Dark Rides. How about you, Rebecca?
Well, this week we posted the Eat to the Beat concert schedule.
Eat to the Beat.
And
yummy.
Dewey and I
tastes
are both,
like wash-ups.
Both surprised by the lineup that they've got this year.
Not this year.
This year, the new groups coming to join the Eat to the Beat lineup include... Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah.
En Vogue.
Yeah.
Peebo Bryson.
Yeah.
Sister Hazel.
Oh, he can sing Beauty and the Beast, like half of it.
Yep. Boys to Men.
We can sing the other half.
Boys to Men, Night Ranger, and
I think
Los
they prefer
Lobos.
To be called Men now.
Not yet a man. En Vogue, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but they sing that really good version of Someday My Prince Will Come from Simply Mad About the Mouse. It'd be nice if they broke that out. Break off a little something something.
You guys will never let me forget that from last week, will you?
For shizzle.
Oh, dear.
Straight tripping.
Okay. And then also, ABC announced its fall premiere schedule. So
that's
I can add that stuff. I'm looking forward. There's a new show that I just saw an advertisement for that looked like fun.
And was on ABC?
The one with Bree and Leary?
I thought it was on ABC, but I don't see it listed here.
Are you serious?
No. J.D. Roth.
It's
same
J.D.
thing.
Roth. Dude, don't do that to me.
George Foreman will guest star.
The Opportunity Knock show looks cute.
What's that?
It's
J.D. Roth invades your home.
Oh, yeah.
You can win fabulous prizes.
Clearinghouse, yeah.
Yeah, so that seems nice. But I'm also looking forward to this upcoming summer show where celebrity... I mean, I don't know if I'll actually end up watching it because it'll probably have really weird, bizarre things.
Yes, you will, at least like for the first 15 minutes.
But it's called Wanna Bet. And it's where...
Wanna Bet.
Where celebrities have to wager as to whether or not the, average Joe contestants can do the bizarre things that they're saying
it's
they
like
do.
Like a crossover?
So, no, not average Joe, like, you know.
Oh, normal people.
Yeah. So, like, if a guy says that he can, you know, hammer 17 nails in his head without hurting himself, you know.
Wow.
I would bet just to see that.
So, it's, well, actually, the one that's in the advertisement right now is Sherry Shepherd. And the question is, this guy claims he can lick a CD and tell you what the CD is about.
Wow, that would be
and
awesome.
So she
if
has
could.
To wager as to whether or not they can actually do this task. So it seems like a funny idea.
Somehow it'll I be, doubt it, but that would be really awesome.
It'll
if
be
could.
Interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, they could play it to the really extreme end to where it's just...
No, ABC wouldn't fit to
exactly,
that level.
Where I wouldn't enjoy it. But if it was kind of, you know, a fun mix of just bizarre, quirky things that people can do and whatnot, it, you know, it could be fun.
Well, you know, it's funny, but the first thing you mentioned as an example is see how many nails I could hammer in my head.
I made that up.
Yeah, I know. That's just,
the CD
that
thing
funny.
Reminds me of That's Incredible. I used to watch, you know, hi, I'm Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm
Kathy
Fran Tarkington.
Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee Crosby.
Thank you.
Frank Gifford. Frank Gifford, Kathy Lee Crosby, and Fran Tarkington. Anyway.
No, wait, you're wrong. It's not Frank Gifford. It was the guy from Happiest Millionaire.
Davidson.
John Davidson.
John Davidson.
Kathy Lee Crosby.
No, you're right. Obviously you're right. Yeah. And Fran Tarkington. Why would they have two football players? That'd be dumb.
Exactly.
Anyway, one thing I always remember is this guy who said he could read the grooves on a record and tell you what the piece was.
Oh,
he said he can only do it with classical because rock music is as hard on the eyes as it is on the ears.
Well, that's funny.
So.
That's funny. And then the other story this week that caught my attention was about a Wisconsin couple. Oh, no, it was in the Wisconsin News. And it was about this couple who have a pig that has a birthmark that looks like the Mickey Mouse silhouette. And they're hoping that Disney will buy it and that the pig will come to a Disney farm and live out its life where people can, you know, just enjoy the pig and its unusual birthmark and then pass away. They saved it. It was going to be slaughtered. It was 18 months old and was going on its way to a slaughterhouse, and they purchased it in hopes that Disney would purchase it from them, I guess. So.
Disney's going to sue because they didn't send the pig back to Peru.
Remember Minnie Moo?
Like they should have.
Yes, I remember Minnie Moo.
Minimir.
They're calling this one Miss Minnie Piggy.
Miss Minnie.
Oh, she went to market.
But who's the one who had roast beef?
Doobie?
Yeah. Not a lot going on in my life, but I am looking forward to Sunday. Secondarily because of High School Musical, Get in the Game or whatever it's called. But primarily because it is the birthday of my lovely and talented wife, Rebecca Mosley. So.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha, cha, cha. So,
thank you for ending the song.
Happy birthday, Rebecca. And
thank you.
As my early birthday present to you, I will end this podcast now. Podcast@liveinplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let us know what's on your mind. And until next week,
don't be a zebra.